God can use any form of worship. God can use any style of worship. I want us to get at the absolute necessity for worship. And that is the Holy Spirit, the flame of worship. Would you please turn to Acts chapter 2? We'll look at verses 1 to 4. 2, 1 to 4. Just before we read that, let me get another point. What is the problem with all of mankind in regard to, quote, worship? And what has crept into the church as a problem? And that is self-worship. In the tabernacle, if you pulled the curtain back and you went into the Holy of Holies, what would you find? A man? No. You would find the ark, which is the symbol of God's presence. Not a man. But you know the person that we're likely to find beyond that curtain in the Holy of Holies? Ourselves. Whatever pleases us is the center. We need to know that the Holy Spirit is the flame of worship. And unless He is here in His power and presence to inflame our worship, it is empty. It is absolutely necessary for Him in the singing, in the testimony, in the prayer, in the declaration of His word. Acts 2, 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, which is 50 days after the Passover, they were all together in one place. Who? Well, His followers, maybe 70 of them. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind, that was a Santa Jerusalem wind there, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what seemed to be tongues or flames of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, the kernel of truth that we want to get at here in this passage is that the Holy Spirit presented Himself in the symbol of fire. He is going to be with them on that occasion, and He comes as fire, tongues or flames of fire visiting each one of them. Now, this is not unusual. Throughout the Scripture, we have God coming in the symbol of fire. One of the most noted, of course, is for Moses as he's out there in the wilderness. God wants to get His attention, communicate, sets a bush on fire, and the bush is not consumed by the fire, and God speaks to him out of the bush. Fire is a common symbol for the presence of God. He is needed today as the blazing flame of worship to be ignited within us to worship. The missing element in church across the country is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Now this morning we want to consider Him as the flame of worship touching every area of our life. First of all, the Holy Spirit is a spiritual flame. Paul explains the difference between Christian and non-Christian this way. An unbeliever or a non-Christian is labeled as a natural man. The Christian is labeled as a spiritual man. The only way to get from natural to spiritual is by the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, who brings us into actual communion with God, a relationship which we did not have previously. It is a supernatural event to be invaded by the Holy Spirit and born again. It is beyond human logic. It is supernatural. We are in a supernatural presence this morning because the Holy Spirit is in us. He is a spiritual flame. Would you please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, a passage which is familiar to us, but which we need to review again as we understand the Holy Spirit as a spiritual flame. 1 Corinthians 2:9, Paul writing, "It is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us," that is, His elect, "by His Spirit," the Holy Spirit. "The Holy Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment." This is a clear passage where we can, with authority, state that the Holy Spirit is a spiritual flame. And we cannot worship Him in a natural state. We must be in a spiritual state, which He brings about by causing us to be born spiritual. Is the Holy Spirit a spiritual flame in your heart this morning? Does this do something for you? Does this communicate to you and say, yea and amen, this truth is for me? If it doesn't, there's a problem. In the second place, the Holy Spirit is a moral flame. Now, let me try to make something clear. As we talk about the Holy Spirit being a moral flame, it is not a discussion of the subject of moralism. Legalism and moralism are killers. Moralism kills because it is the attempt by man to be good enough for God on his own. It is selfism. It is self-worship. This is an entirely different thing. We are admitting that we do not have the moral goodness to be right with God, and the Holy Spirit must provide that for us. Notice his name. He is the Holy Spirit. That's on purpose. That's not just an accident. He is the Holy Spirit. He is himself holiness. Now, when he invades our life, he awakens our moral senses according to Scripture, not according to what we think, not according to the world standards, but according to scriptural truth. He causes us to love God's righteousness, which we once hated. He causes us to hate evil, which we once loved. And he transforms us morally. And unless that is true, we will not be what we should be. We will never worship God according to his truth, unless we are transformed morally. Not our goodness, not our merit, but his. Now, the Pharisees and other people and people today are misled and confused about that, in thinking that what is spoken of in Scripture is just external. Like the Pharisees were proud that they kept the law externally. And they looked really good in the sight of people. I mean, you could see them praying in Ralph's Market and Starbucks or wherever they went. They were pretending to be the spiritual giants. Jesus said, "Your heart is foul, it's evil, it's filthy." And what he came to teach is that morality is inside. He made it interior. He said, you don't commit murder just by the physical act. You do it in your heart. You don't commit adultery with the physical act. You do it in your heart. It's not looking good in front of people. It's being morally transformed as the Holy Spirit is a moral flame. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is our intellectual flame. He invades our mind. He is the great illuminator which reveals to us the truth of God. He affects our thought life. He enhances our intellectual capacity, and we have a spirit-filled mind. Do you realize how great it is to be a believer and be together this morning and get to think the thoughts that come to us? God, Creator. You read about the Boy Scouts, the two boys who wanted to join the Boy Scouts and will not acknowledge God as Creator. And the Boy Scouts of America want to ban them, and some liberal judge says, no, you can't do that. We freely acknowledge God as Creator. Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit, present God. Scripture, eternal truth. Heaven, glory. Unbelievers don't get to think about that, except in a negative way. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has invaded our mind. He is our intellectual flame. He affects our speech. One of the interesting things that happened to me upon God's invasion of my life is that he immediately changed my speech. I don't remember even thinking about it. But what used to come out of me no longer came out of me. It was amazing. Now, God doesn't necessarily do that for everybody, especially some golfers I play with. But He changes our speech. He changes our mind. And as we're here this morning, gives us the ability to praise God sincerely. He does that. He's a spiritual flame, a moral flame, an intellectual flame. The Holy Spirit is also our emotional flame. And that has a great deal to do with our worship. How can he do that? Well, he is an emotional person. Let me just say this again. Do not refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. He is not an it. He is a person. Intellect, emotion, and will. And he is here this morning, and he is an emotional person. He loves, he hates, he's grieved. And he affects our emotions. He causes us to love what God loves. He causes us to hate what God hates. And what we need to think about is, dear Holy Spirit, control my feelings. Control me. I give up my feelings to you. And control what gives me pleasure and what gives me delight. Think about this morning. What is the basic source of pleasure for you? What really delights your heart? Is it the inflamed worship of the Holy Spirit who has ignited your Christian life? The Holy Spirit is our volitional flame. The Holy Spirit wills, moves, and acts upon his will. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and they became without form and void. Problem. The Holy Spirit moved upon that creation and brought order. The Holy Spirit acted by his will. In Corinthians, we learn that the Holy Spirit gives gifts to the church as he wills. And he is our volitional flame. He invades our will. What a marvelous grace that is. Because we enter this life with a depraved will. A will that is bent against God and for evil. Set on evil, set against God. Now that will must be healed. It must be sanctified and set apart. It must be surrendered to God. And the Holy Spirit enables us to do that. Thank God he invades our will and helps us with our actions and our thoughts. And so the Holy Spirit is the flame that invades our life, that causes us to worship sincerely. Now we need to ask, if the Holy Spirit has will, What is the central purpose of his will? Where is he going? What is he doing this morning, 2,000 years after the resurrection? What does he want from you? And what does he want from me? And how can we learn what that is? We learn what it is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 26, chapter 16, verse 14, where it is revealed that the Holy Spirit shall testify about our Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Lord Jesus said, He shall glorify me. Now, if we are not getting in on that, and that is not the central purpose of our life and our will, we're missing it. How we need the Holy Spirit to ignite our life this morning with His power and His presence and cause us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. A question this morning would be, is your worship fresh? Are you depending on last year's experience? Are you depending on yesterday? Is your worship real and fresh right now? It can only be if you're calling on the Holy Spirit and surrendered to Him to cause that. Let me ask you this. Is your faith fresh? Are you depending on something that happened last year or yesterday? Or is your faith real and alive right now? Sincerely worshiping in faith. How is your love? Is your love for the Lord fresh and real today? Or you say, well, a few years ago I really was in love with the Lord. Yesterday I loved Him. How about today? In the book of Revelation, we have the letters of Jesus to the seven churches. And to the church of Ephesus, He says, you've got some good things going for you. And if we modernize it, He could say, you're doing good. You're getting to church. You're reading your Bible, you do a little praying, and once in a while you talk to a neighbor about the Lord, and you took them a meal last week. You're doing pretty good. He said some things that come in to the Ephesian church, and then He said this. But I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. Wasn't taken from you. You left it. You have left your first love. How is it this morning? Is your love fresh? Is it a flame that burns? Can we worship in spirit and truth? Without the flame of worship, the Holy Spirit, we cannot. May God lead us as a group and as individuals to have fresh, living, inflamed worship and faith and love, and so give glory to God along with the Holy Spirit in His purpose. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow as an indication of our surrender and humility before You to live under Your authority, and we acknowledge that we can't do that on our own, And we ask now and invite the Holy Spirit in power and presence to ignite our life with the flame of worship and faith and love and courage to live for your glory. Be pleased to work that in our lives, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.